हरिः ॐ सहनभवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मविद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरिगौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Antya Lila, Chapter 20, the Sikshashtaka Prayers. Continue with Bhaktivinoda Thakur's commentary on the first verse. Of the two, then, the Supreme Lord is fully independent, possessing and embodying all transcendental qualities. He is the origin of everything, and he only partially enters into material nature and controls it. It is he alone who creates and maintains the material world. The reservoir of all bliss, he is ever relishing his own spiritual self and distributing the nectar of pure love of Godhead by means of his pure devotional service. Indeed, he encourages all living entities to taste that sweet nectar. The innumerable living entities go through varied stages of existence, now eternally conditioned, now eternally liberated. When the jiva rejects the Supreme Lord, he becomes forever ensnared in matter. But again, aspiring for his shelter, the curtain of Maya that separates the jiva from his eternal transcendental identity is forever removed. He is immediately restored to his original pure self. So you're dealing with the eternal platform. So since it is a matter of choice, you make a choice in one way, you could internally stay on that unless you make the choice, you know, back. Right? So then that's just the position. And so, because you're dealing with eternal time, therefore then these points of eternal are used. You know, does that make sense? So like yesterday we say, one should not make the mistake of trying to use this point that the acharyas are making and try to bring it into our own time frame for our own, you know, purposes. Like that. Yeah?
So can we say that in terms of eternity, there's no gap between liberated stage and conditioned stage? Means
no,
whatever we experience now, there it doesn't matter, because as soon as we go back there, we just continue as if nothing was there in between.
Yeah, that's the thing, because you're dealing with what's beyond time. So the living entity starts off as Nitya Siddha. Right? It means he's eternally liberated. But the point is the emphasis on siddha. It doesn't say prema. Right? Does that make sense?
Yeah,
so it's just there. So the potential is there to develop naturally in that direction. Just like a family has a child, it's natural that the relationships will develop. But they can also not develop.
Yeah.
Like that. So the choice is there. So so when one switches out of that, then it's no gap, because it's a matter of consciousness. Consciousness is either on the spiritual platform or not. It can't be on both. It means we have to remember we're already marginal.
Yeah.
So the spiritual platform is already the marginal position. Right? Then there's Maya and then there's Bhakti.
Yeah,
so that's the thing, is because we take, so Prabhupada sometimes says the spiritual platform, then the transcendental.
Yeah. Right?
Though the words are interchangeable, you know, as we use them, but transcendental means referring to the personal pastimes that go on between the Lord and the living entities.
Yeah,
that's it. Sometimes in the peripheral vision, it looks like a jean jacket. Okay, what?
Jean jacket? Oh, jean jacket.
Yeah, yeah. Because I remember it said, at least just at the, I don't know, just at that end, just after Glasnost, that was considered one of the most important articles of possession.
Oh.
I remember devotees, they were dressed in, you know, fully the thing, doing everything, but they'd have their jean jacket.
That's the famous picture from Australia, the Wrangler.
Oh, okay.
When they did that advertisement.
Really?
Oh yeah, there's this, I saw the video the other day, somebody put it on the tube, how that company, Wrangler,
right.
in Oz,
right.
they somehow they conceive of an idea that devotees look very attractive.
Okay.
And they want, you know, that jean jacket, the okay. Wrangler,
okay.
to advertise through devotees. And and I forgot who it was, but he himself, the guy who was in charge at the time,
okay.
tells the story. And then he says...
Means the guy in the company?
The devotee.
The devotee. Oh,
the
okay.
devotee. He says they approached us, and, you know, it's Maya. So we went to Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, yeah, go for it. And Prabhupada was there at the time.
Okay.
As far as I remember, maybe mixing things, but mm-hmm. the main thing is there. So he says, yeah, okay, and then negotiation going on, and then they say, okay, we're interested. He says, okay, so what should we do? He says, come for this, that shooting, you mm-hmm. know, and they came, and they set a certain amount for the, you know, the company to pay the devotees. Mm-hmm. Then they didn't like the first. Prabhupada says, okay, ask them double than that. They go, it's not going. Prabhupada, every time, they went like many times. And that the amount they asked at the end was like really, really, you know, very big. Like mm-hmm. way beyond what they started. Like mm-hmm. if they started with 1,000 and then it was 25,000.
Mm-hmm.
and then they did. And it's a famous, it's shown there in the video, it's a famous picture. They walk, it's like the energy of Harinam.
Mm-hmm.
And the main guy is in the jean jacket.
Oh, right? Just one guy. Oh, all the Hare Krishnas are one guy's in the jean yeah. jacket. Okay.
And he said that advertisement went everywhere around the world, like for years.
Hmm.
It was so popular. So mm-hmm. they made like huge amounts.
So they did all right.
Yeah, they did all right.
That's the thing, is because they gave more than they got more.
Yeah, but even their people, the marketing people, they couldn't imagine how big it will be. So they just, the huge posters were everywhere, mm-hmm. everywhere. Not only in Oz, but other places as well. And it was, and even when I looked at it first time, it looks very attractive. Something, you know.
Yeah, no, there's devotees in there, Hari, now back there, especially with that was. Those early days, it looked really good. What was the caption?
I forgot if it's really...
Something about some things are hard to give up or renounce.
No, something be different or something. I don't remember.
Be different.
Okay. Something, it was very, very attractive. Yeah, right. I forgot what was it, but the Prabhupada immediately was asked for more money, and each time he increased.
Means when they'd come to us.
Yeah.
Okay.
Then he said, all the time, they should give more, and that devotee, he felt, you know, uncomfortable, but still, he asked, and they said, yeah, okay.
Then, because they gave so much, then, there you go. So, yeah, because, I remember, when the East Block first opened up, you know, if you've been hungry and everything, everybody had, you know, it's like, you know, everything was given away, or given, you know, this or that, or left at home, but not that, not the jean jacket.
I brought one here.
Yeah.
Away.
Okay.
Not from Russia, but.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's just somehow or another that was. No. Yeah, and I guess there was also a difference between if it was local or if it was foreign. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, big difference.
Huge difference.
Yeah.
I never had.
Well, he found.
You got it?
The brownies.
If I can't wear my old Wrangler shirt, I'm not going.
Yeah.
That's funny. Oh, okay.
We got distracted, but I had a question on the topic, but I totally forgot it. You got excited about it.
It was just about on the eternal. So the point is that that place, that neutral state, the spiritual platform, that's the tathasta position. Because only jivas go through that.
Yeah.
The internal potencies are on the platform of prema. Because that's just their inherent nature. Right? Maya is already also serving Krishna. So it's only the jivas that have that choice.
Yeah.
So that's the point. That middle point that is on the spiritual platform, because they're spiritual living entities coming from the spiritual Lord. But the difference is do they want to cultivate that relationship with the Lord? It's the natural relationship, because everybody around is doing. But as we see is that the yogic Brahmins, Prabhupada mentions, they were devotees. But they were very absorbed in their yajnas and this and that, but their wives were pure devotees.
Yeah.
So they just came forward and served Krishna. So that's the whole point. You can say, oh, this can't happen. It's like, well, then what happened with the yajna Brahmins? At least by the association of the wives, they figured it out. But we didn't. You know, so.
Yeah. I got the question back.
Okay.
I find the difficulty to explain, because Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Jiva Dharma explains this position of the jiva, you know, in discussion of the dasa move. So the difficulty seems to be is that we come in from tathasta,
mm-hmm.
but it's not a constitutional position. It's just, you know, it's just location, basically, mm-hmm. how he explains it and how it is. And he gives the example of the shore of the mm-hmm. water and the sand,
mm-hmm.
but somehow or other, people think that if we're coming geographically from that place, that going back means to that tathasta position doesn't mean necessarily back to the spiritual.
It's amazing
position.
It's either, if we're coming from there, then we never had love for Krishna, so why am I even endeavoring for it? You know, why, you know, as if being in Maya is a natural position, you know, or there's some other option, you know, like yeah. that. Or it's that, okay, it's there, but will I go back? You know, it's just,
yeah.
it's not a location as such, it's maybe a location of consciousness. You know, it's just like we're saying, it's that those yogic Brahmins, they're in Braj during Krishna's pastime. Krishna's right outside their door. They're in the spiritual realm. They're devotees, but they're more absorbed in their karma than they are in bhakti. That's the beach. You know, so Maya's there with the karma, and the bhakti and the bhakti's there with the devotionals, because that's there, but.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's just like, let's say here at Mayapur, you have, you know, individuals that are in Mayapur, and they're taking, you know, trying to very seriously take advantage of being in the Dham and the, you know, the chanting and everything like that. Association and that. But there are many who, they're devotees, and that's their intent is being devotees in that, but most of the time they're just absorbed in, you know, their daily life and how to take care and how to develop and make better facilities and get rid of this problem and all those kind of things. Though if you bring it up or something, then yes, of course, then they're going to be devotees. You know, there's a kirtan mela, or there's something special going on, or they're going to immediately take that up. But they're in that position where they're working with both. You know, because the whole thing is consciousness. Krishna is pure consciousness. We're consciousness. You know, that's what we are. It has the features of Satchit and Ananda. So now it can be either in its pure state in the internal or covered by ignorance. So ignorance just means we don't know its connection to Krishna. So it's not a location as such that we're all crowded together and then, you know, there and then you know, somebody goes, hey, what's that? You know, the hey, there's a bus. Where is it going?
Yeah.
Let's ask the nice lady if there's some space. Yeah.
I mean, she's very accommodating.
Yeah, of course she's very accommodating. Like that. Yeah. So the whole point is you're dealing with eternity. So it has to, the acharyas explain, so it's just one of those things, you're dealing with facts. It's not a matter of I like it or don't, I can change it. It's just, that's the way it is. You know, it's like, let's say you're, sitting on inside the house. You can't just say, well, I'm not actually in the house, I'm out in, some other place. Or no, you're in, by fact, you're in the house. Maybe consciousness is somewhere else. You know? But the point is the facts are there. The acharyas explain as good as you can, because if our reference is time and space, then how do you explain it? Because you're discussing something beyond time and space.
Yeah, I also really like that mentioning when we were reading, I think yesterday, the day before yesterday, that there are 10 spheres.
Oh, yes, yes.
But that there are also 10 tritons then later. So the trident, Trishula.
Yes.
It's Rajas, Tamas, and Sattva. But also it's past, present, and future. So three phases of time. So it pushes you back if you think, you know, in those terms.
Yeah.
You can't really go inside, yeah, because it's a different, it's very different.
Yeah, so, So it's just, it's inherent for me. That's why when we speak about, you know, most other topics than this one, then we can appreciate and understand, because we're using the spiritual intelligence. Like that, your consciousness is natural. That's why taking it up so easily, you can do things. You've been following one culture for so long, and then just in one moment, you just switch to something else and go on. And you know, with the devotees and doing everything, and that it's not a problem because it's natural. It's inherent in the soul.
Yeah.
But it has to be cultivated. So some, I just also read Bhaktivinoda, of course, making the point that, some may say, well, why does God make people like this? You know, or why can't he just make everybody, pure, prema bhaktis? And he points out he could, but it's not his will. Because, and so he gives the example, someone can say, well, that's unfair, but then the point is we're saying he should do all the work, I should do nothing. You know, they're not taking it, you know, that I put in the effort. So he gives the example of the father, you know, being immensely wealthy. He has a huge estate. He could give it to his undeserving son, you know, but he gets more pleasure on training the son where he's qualified and then giving it to him. You know, because then it's about the living entity making that endeavor. It's about that relationship. Because it's all about relationship. Point is we're still in the kingdom of God. We just happen to be in, you know, the place where they keep people that don't follow all the social rules. So, you know, God's sitting in the heart. So it's not a matter of him being unfair, it's a matter of relationship. So if we just want someone else to do everything, because otherwise if you look at it, just doing, okay, we read about, you know, just in the last chapter, about the fisherman.
Oh yeah.
He touched Lord Chaitanya, he's manifesting all the symptoms of love of Godhead. He's not happy.
Yeah.
So then God could make us all, but we won't be happy with it. We looked here. We chose to come here. So then we need to choose to go back. You know, it's just like if you're dealing, let's say, with acquaintances, they like, don't like, want to do, don't want to do. It's something that is just, you do something, you're doing some obligation, let's say, some occupation or something, and so you just deal with it. But now if it's going to be people who are more close to you, you expect that they actually want to be around. Yeah. They like to be with you and interact with you. You know, it's not a matter of you have to. That's for work. There you have to do it. You know, you're getting paid for that. But this other, it's a matter of emotion, the relationship. That's not a matter of payment. That's a matter of you know, people actually have that desire. So the jiva, when he makes the choice that I want to serve the Lord with the devotees, you know, and with nothing else, no other plans, then Krishna reciprocates that. So Krishna is waiting for it. That's why he set up the whole material world. That's why all the, you know, the whole elaborateness that's there is just so that we, you know, can you know, go back to Godhead. But until we decide to take up that path, then we follow whatever is our desire. You know, but we're talking realistic desire. You know, everyone wants to be a millionaire, but the point is if right now you were made a millionaire, what would you do with it? Well, how would you? Because people who are millionaires and that you know, maintain that, you know, that you don't see it. You won't know they're millionaires.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You know, it's just like, let's say, if there wasn't all the social media where you saw everybody and all the pictures and all the things like that, if you saw that guy running Amazon, you might think he's a homeless person. Literally. You know? Like that. Elon Musk would just be some nerd.
Ordinary guy.
Yeah, ordinary guy, maybe, you know, a bit of a nerd. That's it, you know? That's the thing, is all these guys like that. You know, they just look so ordinary. What's his name? It's, you know, is it Gates? Yeah, it looks really ordinary.
Yeah.
You know, they're not there with all the chains and the gold teeth and all that. That's the guys that get the money and they do that. Come back after a few years and then see where they are.
No teeth.
Yeah, no teeth.
No chains.
No chains, you know, skinny because they're dying of some, you know, drug-related disease. And you know, like that. So that's the thing, they look like that. Or what's that guy in Texas? Yeah, Warren Buffett. He just lives in a regular house on the same block as everybody else. You know, he's not in a big mansion.
Old dude.
Yeah, just an old dude. Yeah, that's it. You know. And so that's the whole thing, is that's just where it goes. So we can say is, no, it should be like this and that. No, it shouldn't. You know, it means everything you do in action means you expect if you do a good work, you're going to get a good result. So that's going to be the mechanics, you do a bad work, you're going to get a bad result. Right? But who sets what's good and what's bad? Do we set it? You know, I'm holding the brick and I let go of the brick. Do I decide that it's not going to hit my foot, it's not going to go down, it's just going to float in the air because I don't want it to hit my foot? Why not hold on to the brick, don't let go? You know, so that's the things, the laws of nature are already established. Because the point is who makes the rules? It's the person who supplies the stuff. Right? So earth, water, fire, air, ether, all the 24 elements are supplied by Krishna. No one else. Not Brahma, not the demigods, not Shiva, nobody. He supplies them. Therefore, he's the maintainer. He makes the rules. You know, so we can't complain and say this is not fair and this and that. You know, okay, well, you know, go for it. Yeah. And he's inviting us to come and take part in these eternally ecstatic pastimes with him, you know, based on affection. Doesn't get better than that. Yeah. Okay. It is therefore clear that the jiva is infinitesimal. possessing a transcendental nature, a pure ego, pure soul, and pure form. But when he turns away from God and contemplates enjoying material energy, his pure nature becomes contaminated by nescience. It is for this reason that the soul has been compared to a mirror. Just as it is impossible to see one's face in a dusty mirror, it is similarly impossible to see the real self, the mirror of consciousness, if it is covered by the dust of ignorance. When one begins to render loving devotional service, particularly hearing and chanting the sacred names and pastimes of the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna directly under the control of his haladini, spiritual pleasure potency, material contamination or nescience is completely eradicated. The jiva's pure consciousness, which is a function of his pure ego, manifests itself and he sees the Supreme Lord, jiva, prakriti, nature, kala, time, and karma, action and reaction. All five fundamental principles of existence reflected on the mirror of his pure ego with absolute clarity. So in the mirror of his pure consciousness, he sees the reflection of his original identity without any distortion. This helps him to know his true religion and inherent nature as an eternal servant of the Lord. When one becomes really expert in serving the Lord, then his propensity to enjoy material life is converted into a loving devotional mood of service. The purport of the word pava is that jiva is being subjected to take repeated death. So he's going through, so that's why then the aspect chaito dharpana marjana. Right? So the cleansing the mirror, the mind, yeah. Now that will be the Baba Mahadavagni. The purport of the word pava is that the jiva is being subjected to take repeated births in this world, a continuous cycle of birth and death called Mahadavagni, or blazing fire, a raging conflagration that cannot be extinguished by any means other than the congregational chanting of Krishna's holy name. Question may arise at this point. When one is enlightened about his swadharma, or eternal intrinsic nature and duty, does he then cease to chant Krishna's holy name? The answer is no. This never occurs. Chanting God's name is the soul of swadharma. The phrase Shreya Kairava Chandrika Vitaranam, which describes the holy name, specifically conveys the sense of eternal activity of the spirit soul in his original spiritual condition. Right? So that chanting is what they do in the spiritual world. That's why it works here. Right? So the congregational chanting of the holy name is going on in Navadvip, in Goloka. And that's the process to enter Braj. You know, if you can enter Braj with that process, you could enter anywhere else you want also. So it's the original place. So when you have Vrindavan, you're going to have Navadvip as the way to attain that. Right? And then from that expands then all the other realms for attaining any other position. Means as Vrindavan, you know, that expands, you know, as the rest of Goloka and then as the Vaikuntha, then you have all the processes and all the deities on how you attain that.
We see that example in Gurudev Bhagavatamrita by the power of the mantra Gop Kumar. He went to each place and then went all the way up to Goloka.
Yes. Because that mantra is from there, so it can take you anywhere in between. Yeah. Like that. Other mantras will take you to a specific place. These mantras, the Gopal mantra and Kama Gayatri, those will take you to Vrindavan. Yeah. Means if you want to get off on the way, you can. But. The jivas who are enslaved by Maya prefer to remain in that condition to enjoy material life. And that desire literally binds them to the cycle of birth and death. This is the root cause of their threefold miseries. But the spirit soul reaps the greatest benefit when he becomes disgusted with material enjoyment and rededicates his time and energy to Lord Krishna's loving service. So rededicates means that's the natural position. Was in that position, but one moves away. You know what I'm saying? Because the point is you know, we've seen is that if you come to prema, then you won't fall. But if it's before prema, you can. So it's just a matter of going back to that point. So it's just like you take up devotional service now, then that will bring you, that will, whatever progress you make, if you don't go back to Godhead, you take another birth, you'll continue where you left off. Right? Or even if you go back to the spiritual world in the Boma Lila, you'll continue where you left off. Though now you'll do so in your spiritual form, your original form. So the point is you'll go back to that position and then continue. Right? Because now you value association with the Vaishnavas, you value that of absorption in Krishna, you'll continue. You know, so the more it's developed here, then when you get back to that position, then the more developed it is. So, make sense?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember something, but it's not coming.
Hmm.
Maybe later.
Later, okay. This benediction is compared with the flowering of a cluster of pristine white lotuses. For just as the moon's soothing rays cause the white lotuses to bloom, to blossom, the rays of the mellow taste of chanting the holy name resuscitate the languishing petals of the lotus of benediction for the jiva. According to the adage, devotion gives birth to devotion. One must follow the principles of elementary bhakti, i.e., repeatedly hearing and chanting until the first light of pure devotion begins to dawn in the heart of the sincere and faithful jiva. Right? So, adage, devotion gives birth to devotion. So you can see is that's the original adage. You know, and then it comes here, you get money generates money. You know, so it's just, you know, all these things, they all, the point is whatever you're working in. So bhakti is the original position. The comparison of congregational chanting with the moon is quite appropriate here. The closed lotus flower touched by the moon's rays awakens to full blush. And similarly, the holy name spreads the rays of bhava, or spontaneous attraction for the Supreme Lord. It is the essence of Paladini, which impregnates the jiva's heart. Rati, or erotic spiritual love, when then lights up his consciousness, bestowing the highest benediction. This is what is meant by the waxing moon that spreads the white lotus of good fortune for the living entities. A pertinent query at this juncture would be, at what stage does a person who has attained the level of pure devotion acquire his pure spiritual identity, his Swadharma? Lord Chaitanya replies by saying, Vidya Vadhu Jivanam, the life of all transcendental knowledge. The Supreme Lord Shakti has two aspects, vidya, or knowledge, and avidya, or ignorance. Right? Yoga Maya, Sri Krishna Sarup Shakti, or internal spiritual potency, is called vidya, whereas his external energy, Mahamaya, is called avidya. Right, because we were discussing before, Lakshmi was talking about the energies that are used in context in the material world. So you have the three modes that are there. But you also have that point of vidya and avidya. So if you're in the material world, it's avidya that's going to be the main. But if you turn towards the Lord, that vidya, that will bring you to Krishna. Because her business is to bring you to Krishna. But it's by the school of hard knocks. You know, because people come and say, hey, you just take this holy name and this and that and everything's wonderful, but we don't. So therefore, it's only when we have trouble that we start to doubt, you know, but what is the meaning of life and this and that. When things are going great, you know. The guy sitting on his yacht in the pristine, you know, how you say, unmoving sea with the sun and in his chair and with his pina colada is not going, what's wrong? You know, what's the meaning of life? He's not doing that. No?
He's enjoying the moment.
Yes, enjoy, and that's the point. We say enjoying the moment. They don't say, you know, just enjoy eternally. Enjoy. No, he says it's the moment. There'll be that moment where he notices and he goes, this is great. You know?
Okay. It's just a moment before it changes.
But yeah, before the captain calls him and says that, you know, something's going on. Yeah.
Tsunami's coming.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. And it is the latter that creates the material universe and covers the soul's sarup. When the first rays of pure devotion finally appear on the horizon of the sadhaka's heart, by his sincerely following the process of hearing and chanting, then gradually, Bhakti Devi, or the goddess of pure devotional process, the eradicator of all unwanted material desires, detrimental to the Lord's service, eclipses the avidya potency. By diffusing suffusing, gradually spreading the soul with spiritual knowledge, she destroys both the gross and subtle coverings of the soul. Simultaneously, the jiva's original spiritual form becomes manifest. To the extent that he receives the form of a gopi, for example, if his spiritual proclivity is steeped in the conjugal mood. Thus it stands proven that Krishna's name is the life and soul of all transcendental knowledge, Vidyavadhi Jivana. Sarup Shakti has therefore often been described as Krishna's wife. The Sanskrit word vadhu means wife. Okay. Ever-increasing ocean of bliss. Right. So we see here is that also interesting that, you know, some you know, how you say, being inspired to follow in the footsteps of the caste Goswamis and those others who then complain about Jiva Goswami talking about the aspect of the gopis and that as the wives and that. Then the point is, but by tattva, they're all his consorts. It's just for the pastime, you know, there's no marriage and all that, so they go on in that way. Does that make sense? Like Rukmini is already Krishna's wife, it's just there's a pastime where they get married.
Right.
So the gopis are already connected to Krishna, but they already have husbands, because otherwise if the husbands were, you know, that aspect was so important, why in Goloka there aren't any. They're only in the Bhavamalila. But because the two are the same place, if you have a husband in the Bhavamalila, then you're already connected with that in the apricot. Does that make sense? In the Prakat, if you have a husband, then in the apricot it's the same place, so it's just,
I think it's the longest purport by Jiva Goswami in Brahma Samhita, on that verse, Ananda Chinmaras Pratimavitavis. And he explains Prageya, Swakiya, Marakiya. It's very exact. Because he had both to address. So he addresses this and then he addresses that. And
well, that's because if you have...
establishes the, you know, the balance.
Yes, yes. Because it means, it's like I said, I met one person specifically that I saw. I think I kind of remember someone else mentioning it, where they just couldn't relate to Krishna because of the parakeet aspect. And so even though the husband was a ISKCON devotee, his wife was wrong. You know, she would chant, she would do everything, but she wouldn't worship Krishna. Because she was just too attached to mundane, you know, morality. You know, once you come from very good families and traditions, it's natural that conditioning by the mode of goodness can be there. And so then for them you explain, so in other words, for one you're explaining the rasa and all that, the tattva is touched on, but you don't, it's not, for the other you just have to talk tattva. And then rasa, you know, related pastimes are in that context of the tattva. So it's not that it's two different things. It's just that due to the nature of the audience, and therefore the... because Lord Chaitanya mentioned this. This is his, Vidyavatu Jivanam. The gross and subtle material bodies of the jiva being completely destroyed, the infinitesimal soul regains its original pristine purity. Although the jiva is anu, or minutely small, his spiritual happiness is not minute. To remove this misapprehension, Lord Chaitanya adds anandam buddhivardhanam, an ever-increasing ocean of bliss. In other words, the holy name of the Lord endlessly expands the spiritual bliss inherent to the soul by leaps and bounds. He thus becomes eternally fixed in one of the spiritual mellows, namely Dasya, Shakya, Vatsalya, or Madhurya, servitorship, friendship, parenthood, and conjugal love. I think we need a period there, no? Established in his eternal spiritual mellow, he begins to relish limitless nectar at every stage of his transcendental relationship and exchanges of extraordinary loving emotions with the Supreme Lord. The Supreme Lord Krishna's enchanting beauty, his divine qualities, and his sublime pastimes are ever ecstatic and eternal, inebriated with divine prema. The pure jiva continuously drinks that sweet nectar, but still the Lord's captivating beauty remains ever fresh and ambrosial, relished in endlessly unique and novel ways. In this stage, one final question may arise. Right? Is this happiness self-motivated and thus contrary to the principles of pure spiritual love? Right? So that's the final question. Because the thing is if you're talking about the living entity goes back, the gross and subtle coverings being removed, being situated again in your eternal position and relationship, you know, in your spiritual form of Krishna, and engaging in these transcendental pastimes, so the happiness is increasing. It's already an ocean, but it increases by leaps and bounds, which means it's not just, you know, it's slowly going on a graph. It's just, you know, moment by moment. Then, if the question is, well, how do you get something so small that it can become big, and you know, all that, you know, that's the problem.
Yeah, that's what we discussed previously.
Yeah, yeah.
And here it answers, it's anu,
yeah,
but not by the means of spiritual consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
So, by spiritual consciousness, there's no contradiction.
Yeah.
But by my mundane consciousness, we immediately see contradictions. Like, what?
Yeah. You know, that's like going to the fancy restaurant that's fabulous food and this and that, and all you're worried about is, you know, is the, how you say, are the napkins on the table, are they made from, you know, some kind of more organic kind of thing?
Animals.
Yeah, you know, yes, yeah, like that, yeah. Like that, instead of, you know, everybody else, oh, it's fabulous. No, how can I eat? They, you know, they're using, you know, napkins that are not from, you know, this place. And, you know.
Not recyclable. So.
Yeah, not
ahimsa.
Not ahimsa, yes. Not free range.
We actually saw that, like real example, you know, prasadam and the plate. And the prasadam was like so good, but the plate was just, you know, just ordinary plastic plate, and the person freaked out. He said,
yeah.
It's your misfortune. I mean, you missed the chance.
One more plate for us. Come on, it's good. Yeah, no, that's the thing, is that we let these things in, and then because Maya's always ready with all these things. Because the point is. You know, they say it's a new thing and it's happening now. No, it wasn't. It was happening as a kid. I was that guy. You know, before I joined. I go in and some have a friend deal, hey, yeah, he's eating something. Wow, these are really good. Hey, you want one? The first thing I would do is take the package, and read the whole, all the ingredients. And if I found one ingredient I didn't like, it was just handed back. No. You know, so it's like, and now it's going on as if it's the newest, latest rage. You know, it's kind of like 50 years ago people were doing, my grandmother was doing that. So she was doing that from the 30s. So it's like, you know, what are they talking about? You know, you take up devotional service, what do you care? You know? It's so strange, and they think they're being so, you know, like, yeah, I have my principles and all. Yeah, you have your principles, and you can stay here in the material world to follow your principles, and I'm not sure how that's going to go next life. But it's like Krishna has become an anga of their morality.
Yeah.
You know, so that's not pure devotion. So that's the problem. It has to be the other way around. Pure devotion is the main, and then morality is surname. That's why I said Dova Mangal Thakur is saying Dharmartha Kama Moksha standing at the door ready to render service. He's not saying I'm following Dharmartha Kama Moksha and I'm fixed in that, and so bhakti is standing at the door ready to wait. No. It goes the other way around.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's sad to see these things.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. I even heard during some courses, in a discussion of 18th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, I don't know why, but the teacher, he wanted just to wake up the audience or whatever it is, the students, and then he brought some controversy into the discussion himself. He initiated it.
Okay.
And it was either surrender to Guru and Krishna, which is, you know, discussed in basically in the 18th chapter, or first and second chapter, you know, moral principle that Arjuna had doubts in right in the beginning. And the group immediately, you know, divided, and there was discussion, this and that, you know, arguments. But, I mean, if he wanted to wake up everybody, he achieved that.
He achieved.
And then the basically the two groups, and one group presented the arguments from the viewpoint of 18th chapter, which was like maybe 25 up to 30 people, but that group was maybe 6-7 people, so the minority. And the majority was women, and maybe I shouldn't say that.
Yeah, don't say that.
and they were like for the moral principles. And then when the arguments went on the basis of Bhagavad Gita, because it was a course on Bhagavad Gita, it was obvious that the mundane principle left, you know, way, way behind. So one lady burst in tears and accused, you know, those who preached on the principle of 18th chapter, that you guys are demons, and then you don't have a heart, you don't, and it was really emotional, like a whole drama. But the guy was actually good, the teacher. Somehow or other, he actually pacified everybody. But what was the strange moment that he said, right, when everything was like peaceful and
afterwards.
Yeah, afterwards. He said, I would go for moral principle, doesn't matter what it is. Yeah, I was like, what, man?
No, but see, when you're going like that, and then the C parts, you know, like that. And then all the thing happens, and then it's all that. What happens afterwards when it all is revealed, you go back to your place, you sit down, and then the line you're supposed to say is Moses' God is God.
Yeah.
That's what you're supposed to say. You know? So the whole point is that it's if you go back on that, because that's what he brought it up. But his thing is, yes, you can, and then that's the problem. So as that comes up more and more, it's gradual. Then the morality becomes the main thing. And then if you look at it, well, then what's the difference between you and one of the local Hindus?
Yeah.
Because that's what they're doing. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur points it out, is that, and then you start doing all these things that seem connected. Because we'll just say if Krishna is involved in some way, then it's all right, it's devotional service. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur points out that when you have, I can't remember what the name is. You know the one where they hold up, I think, the Chalani or something and look at the moon? The ladies? Is that a North Indian thing? No? It's North Indian. Yeah, there's this thing where on a particular full moon and all that, all the ladies go out and that's it. It's a worship of, I think, Annapurna and the moon, and Krishna's involved in there. They worship him and like that. But he's pointing out it's not bhakti, because the worship of Krishna in that process is just one of the rules that you do. You know, if it said worship, you know, your hamster, they do that as, you know, whatever. It's just they're following the rules so that, you know, for this life and next life, they have sufficient food. Mm-hmm. Like that. And so then it's something that's done every year. So he's pointing out it's not bhakti, it's karma. You know, you can say, no, but Krishna's involved. But the point is, Krishna's involved in everything. Everything goes on because of Krishna. You know, there's nothing that goes on. It's his Shakti that makes everything run, so there's nothing separate from Krishna. The point is when it's done, is to please Krishna, because here it's not about pleasing Krishna, it's about them having food. It's not about devotion to Krishna. So they'll show devotion when they're doing, but that devotion is temporary. But bhakti, as defined by the Acharya, is an eternal principle. If you're just doing it temporarily, get the result, and then stop, then you're not looking at it from the eternal plan. Why would you get the eternal benefit? But when you're doing something to please Krishna as a person under the authority of the Acharyas, then you're working on that eternal platform. You may forget about it, but the point is your intent was on that, so it's on the eternal platform. Because the point is, Krishna's in the heart. He sees these things. So you can work on those elements like that, and so then, yeah, it means working, doing all that service, you get a good birth. That's why it says, after the heavenly planets, then you take birth in a religious or wealthy family like that. Some sense, you know, because it can be religious, just means any religion, you know, any kind of thing. They have some faith in the Lord, you know. Then there's more of it. They take religious meaning, devotional family. So it's sad that this goes on. What to do?
Life goes on.
Yeah, life goes on. Okay, at this stage, one final question may arise. In other words, that other question is not a question that would arise. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, already here, he's already mentioned the questions that could arise, like that. Is the happiness self-motivated and thus contrary to the principles of pure spiritual love? If so, how can the jiva's happiness be called unalloyed and spiritual? To allay any such confusion or doubt, Lord Chaitanya uses the expression sarvatma snapanam. The bliss of Krishna consciousness is completely pure, wholly free from any desire for self-satisfaction. That is to say, in the natural course of pure devotional service, one attains the form of a maidservant of Srimati Radharani, who embodies the zenith of Mahabhav, or unsurpassable heights of exaltations. And in her service, the jiva participates in conjugal pastimes with the Lord and experiences unlimited ecstatic bliss. This sublime mood is therefore untainted by even the slightest tinge of selfish lust or self-indulgent craving. This phrase also indicates that neither the contamination of Sayuja Mukti, i.e. the desire to merge with the Lord, nor the impurity of self-gratification can contaminate the heart of the jiva in the state of pure, perfect bliss. Right, because if you're already tasting something higher, then something lower is not going to. You know, it's just like, let's say, as a child, you're you know, at the Anamoy platform, everything that you can get your hands on goes in your mouth. But now, let's say, you know, you've gone beyond that stage to a higher stage where you're eating proper food and all the things. You can't come along with that, you know, that shoe off the floor because it's got a shiny toe and say, hey, you want to suck on this? And, you know, like that. And, what are you talking about? Yeah, but it was one of your favorite things to chew on when you were a baby. It's kind of like, you know, it's just no question. It's just once you've tasted beyond, then who's going to go back? Because everything is done for taste. So once there's a higher taste, the lower taste has no meaning. So, yeah. May the chanting of the holy name of Krishna be ever victorious, for it is adorned with seven transcendental qualities. It is the embodiment of eternality. It is knowledge, and it is the highest bliss, steeped in the wonderful and variegated amorous pastimes of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. Okay. Then Bhakti Siddhanta says, why is it smaller?
Decrease the font
margin. But it's also been indented more.
Yeah.
Because generally we'd only do that if it was a udriti within.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is this Shikshastika
praise?
This not in
Shri Prabhupada. Yes, CC. The last chapter is Shikshastika Prabhupada. Comments on it. I think, didn't we start with Prabhupada's comments?
We started with
Prabhupada's comments.
And then
after that came.
Bhaktivinoda Thakur.
No, I meant those ones because I never read them. So.
Oh, these?
Yeah.
No, these are in their other, someone else has translated them. Like
these. Sanmodana Bhash Bhaktivinoda Thakur's book and. Translated.
And I think he is his book, and then Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur did a commentary.
On his book,
yes. So maybe it's that all these things went, you know, in between, because I kind of remember it went back and forth, but I don't remember. It's been a long time. Last time I taught this was when the Gurukul was over here.
Wow. Well, that's 20 years back.
Yeah, in the 90s we taught.
Bhajanarahasya.
No. The Shikshastaka. Yeah, with the commentaries of Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. There are innumerable ways to execute devotional service. The Srimad Bhagavatam and the Hari Bhakti Vilas have described many of them. Broadly speaking, some 64 limbs of a devotional service are considered the main disciplines or process of bhakti yoga. They are all grouped under the categories of vaidhi bhakti, devotional service according to rules and regulations, and raganuga bhakti, spontaneous devotional service. In Srimad Bhagavatam, Prahlad Maharaj especially glorifies pure spontaneous devotional service. As Lord Gaurasundara has said, the congregational chanting of the holy name of the Lord is the most perfect form of devotional service. Those who are knowledgeable in the transcendental science of the absolute truth have defined the supreme non-dual substance, defined the supreme non-dual substance, understood in the preliminary stage through jnana as Brahman. Understood further in its eternal aspect, it is defined as Paramatma, or the Supersoul. In the full and complete manifestation of all its potencies and its transcendental nature of complete knowledge, eternity, and bliss, that supreme absolute truth is known as Bhagavan. Bhagavan, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is called Vasudeva when he manifests the supreme opulence, and Krishna when he covers his opulence with his conjugal loving mood. Lord Narayana responds to his devotees in two main devotional melas, or rasas, while Lord Krishna is the worshipable object of all five rasas. Lord Balarama, Lord Krishna's Vaibhava Prakash expansion, manifest in relation with his excellences, is the supreme lord of Vaikuntha Loka, residing there permanently in his eternal Chaturvyuha expansions. Proper japa chanting is possible only in the mind. When the chanter will achieve the desired perfection, Chanting audibly with lip movements is kirtan. It is more effective than japa and brings about the greatest benefit to the hearer. Kirtana means complete kirtana, for it is unnecessary to perform any other devotional activities if one performs sankirtana. Partial or imperfect kirtan of Lord Krishna's holy name is not the same as sankirtana. Imperfect chanting of Krishna's name is unable to cause the optimum spiritual change in the living entities. This will lead them to doubt the potency of kirtan. Therefore, let the complete and perfect chanting of Krishna's holy name, or Nama Sankirtana, be victorious. One's knowledge of a mundane subject is fragmental. In the spiritual world, however, Lord Krishna is the ultimate subject, and being transcendental, the plane remains forever untouched by material nature. By thus discussing transcendental subject matter, or Sri Krishna, one achieves supramundane perfection. Seven of these perfections, specially related to chanting Lord Krishna's holy name, are mentioned in this shloka. 1. Chanting cleanses the mirror of the heart. Chanting Lord Krishna's name cleanses the mirror of the conditioned soul's polluted heart, which is wholly covered by three contaminations, namely material desires, the enjoying spirit, and ungodly atheistic activities. The most effective process to clean the jiva's heart of all these impurities is chanting Lord Krishna's name. Material desires, the enjoying spirit, and ungodly atheistic activities. These treacherous contaminations cover the mirror of consciousness and cause the jiva to reject his true nature. Krishna's name alone can free the consciousness of these aberrations. Thus, by constantly chanting, taking complete shelter of the holy name, the jiva gradually perceives the reflection of his original form as the servant of Lord Krishna in the mirror of his consciousness. 2. Chanting protects the devotee from material existence. This material existence only appears to be sweet and pleasurable, but in reality it is like a fire in the depths of a forest, which can sometimes burn the entire forest to ashes. Non-devotees who have no faith in Lord Krishna have to constantly tolerate the searing, burning pain of this forest fire of material existence. On the other hand, when Lord Krishna's name is perfectly chanted, the devotees are protected from these scorching flames, even though they are in the midst of the forest of the material world. 3. Chanting the holy name speaks the highest benediction. Wholehearted chanting of the Lord Krishna's holy name is the highest goodness and munificence. Shreya means benediction, Kairava means white lilies, and Chandrika are the rays of the moon. Just as the illuminating rays of the rising moon, the lily's white beauty is highlighted in the night, similarly the chanting of Krishna's name brings out the best in man and enlightens the darkened universe, showering it with divine benediction. Human society cannot benefit from material desires for sense enjoyment, speculative knowledge, or fruit of activities, but chanting Krishna's name blesses all with the greatest prosperity. 4. Chanting is the source of all transcendental knowledge. The Mundaka Upanishad mentions two types of knowledge, material and transcendental. Chanting of Lord Krishna's holy name is indirectly the fountainhead of material knowledge, but it is primarily the life and soul of transcendental or supramundane knowledge. Chanting induces the jiva to break the shackles of false ego and false prestige, a product of material knowledge. and elevates him to understand his eternal relationship with the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna, the ultimate focus of real transcendental knowledge. Therefore, is chanting Krishna's name. Because his name is the source of all knowledge. So the point is primarily it's the devotional, but as a side, secondary, it's also what makes everything work here. Because right? Means the avidya means you don't see Krishna, it doesn't mean the mechanics don't remain. But still, you have to follow Krishna's mechanics. You just may not acknowledge him. So, yeah. Five, chanting expands the ocean of bliss. Chanting the holy name expands the boundless ocean of transcendental bliss and enables one to fully relish the sweetest nectar at every moment. Only a vast expanse of water is called an ocean, nothing less. Therefore, unlimited bliss has been rightly compared to an ocean. Such transcendental experiences as these are eternal and unfettered by imperfections. Nor does it lack fullness or constancy. Even spiritual nature and objects take on a tenderness and cooling sheen in touch with the chanting of Krishna's holy name. In the mundane realm, the body and mind, and above them the soul, not only become purified by Krishna's name, but gradually and inevitably embalmed, preserving it to its original state by its cooling tenderness. So everything becomes, enhanced by the chanting of the holy name. Right? So even in the spiritual world, everything becomes increased by the chanting of the holy name. And so we see here then, in the mundane realm, the body, the mind, but the soul not only become purified, but gradually absorbed in this, that cooling tenderness. So it has that effect in the spiritual world. Why wouldn't it have it here? Six. Chanting cures the disease of material existence. The subtle and gross contaminations attend upon the material conception of life have quite devoured the spiritual soul. But these material diseases can at once be terminated by chanting the holy name. When the soul, released from its material designations, is eager to reach Lord Krishna, engages in devotional service under the cooling shade of Lord Krishna's lotus feet. So we see here is that the soul is eager to reach Lord Krishna, right? So he engages in devotional service. So you have that aspect, is that devotional service is so attractive and does give so much wonderfulness and gives the knowledge, then you'll get these results. But at the same time, is the aspect that the living entity himself is interested in this, right? So it's not just happening. He's interested. Right? So the potency of the holy name is there and giving its influence, but the living entity is also interested in it. So it's not just a passive aspect. It becomes dynamic. Seven, chanting is the essential ingredient in all devotional service. Srila Jiva Goswami writes in the Bhakti Sandarbha 2.7.3 and in the Krama Sandarbha Ata eva yadyapyanya bhakti kalau kartavya tada kirtana kya bhakti samyogenaiva. This means that although it is required in Kali Yuga to practice the eight limbs of devotional service, they have to be performed in conjunction with chanting. So anything else, all the process, but they all have to be done in connection with the chanting. In his Sri Bhajan Rahasya, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes, Chaito Darpana Marjanam, the contaminations that cover the mirror of consciousness are swept away by chanting the holy name. For it is the embodiment of profound spiritual bliss. For example, Srila Rupa Goswami writes in his Namastika 7, O holy name, O Lord Krishna, you dissipate the sufferings of your surrendered soul devotees caused by their offenses to the holy name. You possess the transcendental form of ecstatic beauty and bliss. and you appear as the embodiment of sublime joy for the residents of Gokula. You are therefore a fully spiritual entity of the same spiritual nature as the Vaikuntha planets. I offer my repeated obeisances unto you. Bhava Mahadavagni Nirvapanam. It is stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam 6.2.46, therefore one who desires freedom from material bondage should adopt the process of chanting and glorifying the name, fame, form, and pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, at whose feet all the holy places stand. One cannot derive the proper benefit from other methods, such as pious atonement, speculative knowledge, and meditation in mystic yoga, because even after following such methods, one takes to fruitive activities again, unable to control his mind, which is contaminated by the base qualities of nature, namely passion and ignorance. Shreya Kairava Chandrika Vitaranam. A quote from the Skanda Purana appears in the Hari Bhakti Vilas 11.2.3.4. The holy name of Krishna is the highest benediction above any other benedictions. It is sweeter than the sweetest honey, the eternal fruit of transcendental knowledge of the tree of the entire scriptures. O best of the Bhargavas, if anyone chants Lord Krishna's name just once without offense, whether chants with faith or indifferently, the holy name immediately liberates him. Vidyavadhu Jivanam. In the Garuda Purana it is said, O best of kings, if you desire to acquire that extraordinary knowledge by which the supreme goal is realized, then chant Lord Govinda's name with love and devotion. And in Srimad Bhagavatam 3.5.40, O Father, O Lord, O Personality of Godhead, the living entities in the material world can never have any happiness because they are overwhelmed by three kinds of miseries. Therefore they take shelter of the shade of your lotus feet, which are full of knowledge, and we also take shelter of them. And in Srimad Bhagavatam 4.29.49, it is stated, Sa vidyam tan matir yaya. Real knowledge is that realization which increases our attachment for the Lord. Anandam Buddhivardhanam. In the Srimad Bhagavatam 8.3.20, it is said, Unalloyed devotees who have no desire other than to serve the Lord, worship Him in full surrender and always hear and chant about His activities, which are most wonderful and auspicious. They are thus always merged in the ocean of transcendental bliss. Such devotees never ask the Lord for any benedictions. Pratipadam Purnamritasvaranam. The Padma Purana states, I offer my respectful obeisances at the feet of that extraordinary person whose body shivers with sublime joy and erupts with ecstasy at the sound of Krishna's sweet name, and who is expert in redeeming the conditioned souls. Conditioned soul who is engrossed in the mire of the ocean of repeated birth and death. Sarvatma Snapan. In Srimad Bhagavatam 12.12.48, it is said, when people properly glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead or simply hear about His potencies, the Lord personally enters their hearts and cleanses away every trace of misfortune, just as the sun removes the darkness or as a powerful wind disperses the clouds. From the Namastaka, O holy name of Krishna, you are the life-sustaining elixir of Sri Narad Muni's Veena, the exhilarating waves on the ocean of nectar. Therefore I beg you to remain eternally dancing ecstatically on my tongue. And in Namastaka 2, all glories unto you, O holy name. The sages have always sung hymns praising you, and you have now appeared in the transcendental form of the supreme syllables for the pleasure of all humanity. One chants those syllables of the holy name, even indifferently, indirectly, jokingly, deceptively, or slightly, you destroy his most dreaded sinful reactions, thereby extinguishing all of his sufferings. Therefore, you are always victorious. And from the Chaitanya Bhagavat, Madhya Lila 23.76-77. Lord Chaitanya said, I am giving you this Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Go and chant with sincere. By chanting this mantra, you receive all the perfections of life. So continue to chant incessantly, for there are no rules or regulations for chanting the Maha Mantra. Chaitanya Bhagavat, here's the mantra. As people say, the mantra has never been given, this, that, blah.
It's right there.
There it is. Verses 15 to 19, Shikshastika verse 2. Shikshastika 2 introduction.
What is this verses 15 to 19?
Means of the chapter, of chapter 20.
Oh.
See, then it says there, 3, 20, 15.
Oh, yes,
again. So you have the introduction, you have the verse, and then you have the explanation. Because Lord Chaitanya said he spoke it and explained it.
Okay.
So then off of what he spoke and explained, then the acharyas, then they give their points. Lamentation, vishada, and humility, dainya, awoke within Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he began reciting another of his own verses. By hearing the meaning of that verse, one can forget all unhappiness and lamentation. Dukha, shoka. 3:20:16. My Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, in your holy name there is all good fortune for the living entity, and therefore you have many names such as Krishna and Govinda, by which you expand yourself. You have invested all your potencies in those names, and there are no hard and fast rules for remembering them. My dear Lord, although you bestow such mercy upon the fallen conditioned souls, by liberally teaching your holy names, I am so unfortunate that I commit offenses while chanting the holy name, and therefore I do not achieve attachment for chanting. 3:20:17-19, now is the explanation. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued. Because people vary in their desires, you have distributed various holy names by your mercy. Regardless of time or place, one who chants the holy name, even while eating or sleeping, attains all perfection. You have invested your full potencies in each individual holy name, but I am so unfortunate that I have no attachment for chanting your holy names. In his Sri Sanmodana Bhashyam, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes, the chanting of Lord Krishna's holy name is represented in four aspects: name, form, quality, and pastime. Lord Krishna's holy name is the seed of all joy, for the holy name and the possessor of the name are non-different. In all respects, chanting the holy name is most beneficial for everyone and all. Therefore, the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya himself reveals all the super excellent attributes of the holy name. In order to evoke everyone's sincere faith in the holy name, Lord Chaitanya prays, O Lord, O munificent, most munificent one, being compassionate upon seeing the destitute situation of the conditioned souls, of your own accord, you have manifested your holy name, which is non-different from yourself. Your holy names are of two types, principal and secondary. Hari, Krishna, Govinda, Achyuta, Rama, Ananta, Vishnu, etc. are your principal names, while Brahma, Supersoul, Supreme Controller, Maintainer, Creator, Mahendra, etc. are your secondary names. The holy name is... You have invested all your spiritual potencies and transcendental qualities to the absolute degree in your principal names. A fact that is substantiated by innumerable scriptural statements like these from the Vedas. My Lord, it is possible for one to be immediately cleansed from all material contaminations just by seeing you. What to speak of beholding you in person? Merely by hearing your lordship's holy name, but once, even chandalas, the lowest of men, are freed from material contaminations. Srimad Bhagavatam 6:16:44. The amount of time that a dwija Brahma spends in studying and reciting Vedic mantras, if utilized in chanting the Lord's name, even indirectly, would yield more benefit. Of this there is no doubt. One who chants these two syllables of ha and ri has already mastered the four Vedas, Rig, Sama, Yajur, and Atharva. One is therefore advised not to spend time studying the Vedas. He should simply chant the holy name of Govinda continuously. It doesn't say where that one's from. O King, constant chanting of the holy name of the Lord after the ways of great spiritual authorities is the doubtless and fearless way of success for all, including those who are desirous solely of material enjoyment, those who are totally free from all material enjoyments, and also those who are self-satisfied by dint of transcendental knowledge. Srimad Bhagavatam 2.1.11. So here is that point they made before, is that even the material things, that's the secondary aspect of the name. So we see here, even somebody just has solely material enjoyment. If they chant the holy name, then they can get that material benefit. You don't have to worship, you know, Durga or Chandi or whatever is the latest fad. O Lord Vishnu, your holy name is fully spiritual, and it is self-manifested. If one chants the holy name, knowing only a little of its vast glories, he gradually acquires perfect understanding of the subject. Lord Brahma was the first to propagate the transcendental sound Om, the mere utterance of which liberates one from the dreadful dilemma of death and nescience. Hence the vibration of Om is also known as Taraka Brahma. Any person who vibrates the holy name Hari just once without offense immediately becomes resolved to serve the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord unconditionally and strives for liberation. Right, because we mentioned before, is that the chanting the holy name that inspires one, that you want to work for, you know, the spiritual development of connecting yourself with Krishna. Certainly that heart is steel-framed, which, in spite of one's chanting the holy name of the Lord with concentration, does not change when ecstasy takes place. Heart, tears fill the eyes, and the hairs of the body stand on end. Srimad Bhagavatam 2.3.24. O Venerable Bhrigu, the holy name of Krishna is sweeter than the sweetest honey, the most beneficial activity amongst all auspicious deeds. It is the eternal and mature transcendental fruit of the Vedic desire-fulfilling tree. Any person who utters this holy name but once, whether sincerely or casually, but without offenses, is instantaneously liberated. Skanda Purana and Hari Bhakti Vilas 11.2.34. O Arjuna, truly I say unto you that anyone who chants my name, being devoted to me, has certainly purchased me. I become his property, fully dependent upon him. Lord Krishna's holy name is like a touchstone gem, capable of fulfilling all desires. His name is directly the Lord himself, and therefore not different from him. It is the complete whole, transcendental and eternally liberated, because Lord Krishna's holy name are the same in principle. No one can understand the transcendental nature of the name, form, quality, and pastimes of Sri Krishna through his materially contaminated senses. Only when one becomes spiritually saturated by transcendental service to the Lord are the transcendental names, form, quality, and pastimes of the Lord revealed to him. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.2.234. Sorry, Bhakti Vilas, it's 11.2.34. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is 1.2.234.
Verse
after
Sri Krishna
Namadhi,
the one.
Oh. Navavendra
in India.
No, but I'm just saying even the verse number is the same.
Oh, okay. in a different.
Yeah. In Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu and then in Hari Bhakti Vilas. Yeah. We can easily understand from these statements of different revealed scriptures that the holy name is endowed with unlimited spiritual potencies. Practice of karma, jnana, and yoga are always bound by specific rules and restrictions and by the factors of time, place, and circumstance. But in chanting and remembering the Lord's name, there is no such consideration, This indeed is an example of the Lord's fathomless mercy. 10 kinds of offenses to the Holy Name. In spite of what has been said, it is truly a matter of great regret that we cannot develop even a drop of attraction with the Holy Name, which is most magnanimous. The word durdaiva, or misfortune, is synonymous with offenses to the Holy Name, or nama arada. Because Lord says, durdaiva mi pirisham. A concise summary of these offenses to the Holy Name is given below. Because in this angle, I can't always tell. Oh, no, we have 2 minutes. Okay. There are 10 kinds of offenses against the Holy Name. 1. Criticizing and finding faults in devotees or sadhus is a serious offense against the Holy Name. How can the Holy Name tolerate criticism of devotees who have dedicated their lives to propagating the glories of the Holy Name? Offending sadhu or saintly persons is therefore the first offense. 2. Those who try to analyze transcendental subject matters with material intelligence falsely conclude that Lord Vishnu's name, form, qualities, and pastimes are different from the Lord himself. They try to impose material characteristics upon spiritual matters, or they mistakenly equate demigods like Lord Shiva, Brahma, etc. with the Supreme Lord, or even think that such demigods are independent of the Supreme Lord. Their chanting is offensive. 3. To consider the Guru, who is self-realized and perfected in the Holy Names, as an ordinary mortal possessing a material body, and thus disobeying and disregarding him. 4. To criticize and find fault in the Vedic scriptures, as well as corollary transcendental literature, such as the Puranas. 5. To consider the glories of the Holy Name as imaginary or exaggerated. 6. To consider the Holy Name to be fictitious or concocted. 7. One who commits sinful activities on the strength of chanting the Holy Name can never be exonerated from this offense by any process, including the practice of yoga, meditation, etc. Only a person in illusion will think that mundane ritualistic activities such as giving in charity, fasting, observing vows, renunciation, austerity, etc., are on the same level as the transcendental activity of chanting the Holy Name. 9. It is also an offense to instruct a faithless person averse to hearing the Holy Name about the glories of the Holy Name. 10. If, even after hearing the wonderful qualities of the Holy Name, one maintains material attachments, it is to be understood that he has not developed attraction or interest for chanting. And next he gives how to clear these offenses.
Om Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.